Samach Zion, Sif Hay. Dogan Shiva Mahuber. See Shabbos the Gamri and Venusarkli Anika. It's attached to the ground, but it's totally finished growing. It's no longer getting any nutrients from the grounds. It's Yabish the Gamri, totally dried. Command the Munuch Bekadadam, we deal with it as if it's already been taken off of the ground. It's sitting in a container. And therefore it would become chometz. If it rains in it, it could become chometz.
Wow.
So the din chimutz process can start already, even though it's still attached to the ground. So the Mishpura Yud Zayin. Sheni Siyabash the Gamri, because of Hayodim, the Batams and Loigim Hacharedim, there are people which are careful. Shiu Kolamatsa Shalahan, Mishumorim Mishas Aksira. That's why we want to make sure that we watch the process of Mishas Aksira to make sure that we're overseeing that they cut it off early enough. The Pomim Menichim and the Yapshon B'Mechubar Yosemidai, they let it dry too much on the stalk. They Shayn Lahem Panay Lisa, because they don't have time to harvest it. People, when we make matzah shmura, which is what we do, we cut it down when it's still partially, it's still moist already, it's not fully grown, fully grown. They cut it off a little before the end of the season to make sure that there's no issue.
Well, why would there be an issue as long as it's still connected to the ground?
Well, that's what the Machaber is saying. Even if it's still connected to the ground, once it reaches the point where it's no longer getting yanika from the ground, so it's not that it grows. It's just a kernel of wheat sitting on a stalk. Right, so it'll become chametz.
Even when it's so attached.
Right, that's what the Machaber is saying.
I see you saying that.
Right.
But we had like the chitim and everything, the rain falls on it, if it's a bowl. So you look at it, depends how it looks. I mean, so here, no matter how it looks.
If we know for sure there was water on it, we said before, if we know for sure. Right.
Oh, okay.
Same as over here, for the case if I see that it happens, therefore, the people which want to be careful cut it off beforehand to make sure they don't get involved in any issues.
So, if it would be a very, very rainy summer, and this stuff is sitting in puddles of water and it's soaking all summer long, that'd be a problem?
Well, if as long as it's still growing, it's not a problem. Because then it doesn't become chometz. Right, it uses the water to make the kernel bigger.
Yeah,
it grows.
It's absorbing a lot of water, which it doesn't have to use because it's continuing raining.
But the water goes to make it grow, not to become
chometz. But the
chometz.
Water
is
part of
it. Right,
so that's not chometz. As long as it's still growing, it doesn't become chometz. It's only when the growth process stops, then the chometz process starts. Okay.
Is that definition, or is that actually a chemical?
You know, you have to ask chemists. Don't ask rabbis for those questions.
Yeah, it's growing. It's not because,
I think it makes sense. You know, logically, I can't tell you what the tea is.
The water gets converted. It's using the water to grow, to make its stuff.
Water.
The chometz is when it's not growing. All the life processes aren't there anymore.
And
so
if it's wet,
then it becomes chometz.
It's getting more water than it needs. Storing up the water.
I think something else happens. It may rot. Something else may happen then.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I think the chometz is going to happen then.
Okay. Yurkas, in Yurulov Shaman, Hainuk Shaman Rub, it's talking about there was a significant rain. While Yadez Lifa Muetis, Sherwin Al Shibolim, Roshina Lachashina. A little bit of moisture comes down on top of the kernels. That's not what we are worried about. So he says, why is that? So Mr. Shartzian says in Sifkatan Chafhei, the whole Agav Midol Yahu Lo Mich Machmetzi Kedisa He the Pesachim Nef Mem. Because since the stalks are standing on the the stalks are the kernels are on the stalks. The nature of the water is going to flow down from them. It doesn't stay. They don't sit in the water. It just flows by. So if it's a minimal amount of rain, that's not going to affect it. But therefore, mutar filu the matzahs mitzvah. So the Rosh Hashanah said in that situation, you can use it for matzahs mitzvah. Which means that's still considered valid shmira. V'ayim b'shari tshuva mashakosim b'shem tshuvas me'il tzedakah. He sends you to the shari tshuva He argues, even if it's a large amount of rain, that this swara, that since the no water sits there, each item of water as it hits it just rolls up and goes down. So no water sits there. So even if it's a large amount of rain, it would not cause chimbus. He says the only case which would be concerned is if it rains for so long, where sometimes the stalks, because of the wetness and because of the wind, etc., bend down to the ground, then it's sitting in the water. Sitting in the water, so all bets are off. Again, it's mama sitting in the water, that's a whole different ballgame. Otherwise, not a problem. So, what does Mishra want with this meal? He's arguing on the Mechaber. Perhaps I don't think Mishra is passing halachal maisa like the meal stalker. He's just pointing out the meal stalker did argue. Okay. You have a pile of grain. You found some of them which have burst, which means they're expanding, which means they're becoming chametz. So it's in shame of a cause mataris. We don't say that's indicative that this whole pile has been affected, and therefore all of that is us. We don't say that. We say each one is different. The Al-Yonis Hagodish B'tachtisa Mischametz and Mispakeya V'enamayim at Noigim M'siyosa Klal. So what happens is that the upper grain gets hit by the first thing of the water and it sits there and that affects it, and then eventually the water filters down to the bottom and that gets affected over there also, and the middle stuff doesn't get affected. So that's we don't just say in fact one's a problem, the other one's is also a problem. You have to remove those, or at least there should be shishim. There should be a shear of shishim. Now, the shishim is going to have to be then. If just shishim alone doesn't help you because it comes to eitzach because of an ear. Because this is a yavish be yavish. Pastor, what he means is that they made it into flour already. Once they make it into flour, then you don't say it's chazer v'nir. It just as is, having shishim is not going to help them when it comes to Pesach. He means that they made it into flour and they made it into matzah. They use this. If we were estimated that there's only a few of them out of the whole pile, it's much more than shishim. So then you go ahead and you make it into flour, you make it into matzah, and it's bottle. And then there's no chazer v'nir when it comes to Pesach. But if I find that the middle ones are also moist, so then I have to be concerned that the water did absorb over there and I can't ignore it. If I see that these are moist and these are moist to the extent that they've expanded and started to burst, I have to be conscious that the moisture over here is also significant. Then I can't ignore it. Okay.
I think I missed something. The previous part. So if they're shishim, you don't use them all. You just use the stuff in the middle.
No,
is that what you're saying?
Right now the pile is there's no top and no bottom, etc. I find some which are mechabes, and I find so I have one. What's with these? The number of mechabes. So mechaber says, don't worry about it. It's very possible at the point where they absorb the moisture, the rain, sometimes it happens that these and these get wet,
right,
are affected, and these are not affected. Now the pile is, you know, it's all mixed up. But I don't have to say the fact that this is any indicator for that. That's what he's saying. Because it's normal that sometimes not everything gets affected.
But we know there's some are cracked. Otherwise we wouldn't worry about the shishim at all.
Correct.
So we don't use the ones that are cracked. Correct.
Right. Well, then he said, okay, so the ones which are cracked, you have to remove.
Right. Okay.
Or in a case of the reshishim, connect them. So right now they're bottle.
Yeah, I thought the idea of reshishim connect them is if you can't pick out the stuff that's bad. If you can't pick out stuff bad, you get rid of it.
That's true, but it's a tremendous amount of work to get all of this. Get all of the, you know, kernel by kernel in a gigantic pile. So if it's bottle in that situation, it's not like it's. The reason why you have to take it out is because it's The reason why people take it out is not because there's a chiyuv to take it out. Actually, the rurei, no pun intended. But the reason why is because that whenever something is visible, it's nicker. It's not a teruvus. The whole letter of bittul is always predicated on the idea of a teruvus.
Right.
So if I can see my item, I have to take it. So that by definition, it's not mutter.
Right.
But here, over here, through the process of searching through, I find it. Right now, it's not obviously visible. So it is a teruvus. If it's a teruvus, it's mutter.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Zion. Yisur sheyesh leberis maleim chitim. So he has these cisterns, he would dig out some type of a cellar, type of thing in the ground, and he has a cover on top of it, and they're full of chitim. A pit, okay. Because Hashem Yesh Makarkius Abor, he's worried about maybe on the bottom, the ground has a certain amount of moisture in it. Will be curious of them, but the ones which are by the walls, chitim mevukoyim milecho is habor v'oritz. Bittul ba'al masaga, you can rely on bittul. Okay. Bittul, not bittul, the din of bittul, b'shishim, the din of, he's not grappling, he doesn't want to use it for Pesach. His gishul is a v'ayinu v'ayimotze. So for that purpose, he just does bittul chametz, kol chamir b'chamin dika b'reshusi, and he's mevatel it. So what's the logic behind that? It's like mishabur and chaval. The havi kechamet shenafel olam haperlis. At worst, even if it is there, there's this gigantic pile of stuff on top of it. Because that was the law of the case where chametz got buried in the haperlis. So unless you're going to be uncovering that mapalus before Pesach, you do not need to uncover it and do bedika there and do beer, you just do bittul, that's sufficient. One argument. Vardis veik sveiku. Shemelon niskamsu, mitzlamer niskamsu, shemelon nisapshu. So, this is what Fred was saying. There's a possibility that even if it did become chametz, it sits in the moisture a very long time, what happens is it rots. So it rots to the point that it's not edible for. So then it's not also anyway for us comments. So we have a second to be matter. Nevertheless, we relied on bittul
as being sufficient.
Okay. What? Sveik Sekhet maybe did not become chametz. And even if it did become chametz, maybe by now it's rotted to the point where it's not edible, so then it's not right, not a problem.
What didn't become chametz or became chametz or not?
The kernels of wheat which are on the bottom of the pit next to the ground. Okay, so the bechaber, ches.
What happened?
What happened?
Put the
kernels. A person has a pit, which he's using to store a mound of wheat. So he said, so now comes Pesach. It's no problem. It's not chametz. It's kernels. Yeah, maybe the kernels all the way on the bottom, which are right next to the ground, which is moist, have absorbed enough water that they become chametz.
Have absorbed enough oil.
Water.
Enough water.
Then maybe they became chametz. Then you have a problem if you have a chiyuv of Isra Bayer Obey Motse. I'm having chametz in my possession. So he says, just do bittul. Just say the formula of bittul, and that's sufficient. You don't need to do dika and beer. You have to remove all the layers above and then check it out. He says, why? Because A, because it's like a case of my problems, and B, because it's like it's a sveik sveiku. Who said they became chametz? We don't know for sure that there's any chametz there. And even if there was, maybe whatever was there was chametz already became inedible because it rotted because of the moisture. Ches, devash shel eino yehudi. Emachsikin by iser v'eklam eseva pesach. You want to buy honey from a goy. Sometimes they sell whatever they sell. Pure honey means pure honey plus a lot of other things in that. Right? You don't know what else they mix in. Even with the United States Department of Agriculture, the Food Drug Administration is guaranteeing that when they tell you it's pure, it's really not pure. So Kabul Herman, when they told us, the guy told you from the back roads of Poland that it was pure, you say Mehechatesi, right? So the Chorah, maybe what he mixed in was Kemach. No, Emo Sikha, but yes, you don't have to be choshed that there's a problem and you're allowed to use it in a Pesach. We have to remember, some people are machmer. Sounds like that was a common problem enough that they would mix it to chometz that we have to worry about. Okay. The minhag medinas elu shel lechol d'bash. The minhag was not to use the honey. Rak oisa shemavim bechavius mina kaveris. Shasin memeno mashke shakar med. The ones which are coming in the barrels, mm-hmm. directly from where the hives are, which are used to make our honey tree called men. But those, we know that there's nothing else in there but the honey. Okay, now the remark continues, and he mentions so the honey. In general, we're machmer except the ones which you know came straight from the hive. Utanim yaveshim, dried figs, vanovim yaveshim, and raisins. Shkarn ruzini, shall raisins. Gdelim rakhtan, large ones, small ones, whatever it is. Tolim b'minigam, makarmis, depends on the minig. Kesh makarim shalala ochlan, v'yesh makilim. Some say not to eat them, some say yes to eat them. Now, what's the problem with them? The problem was that in the process of you put them out to dry. If in the process of drying them, sometimes they would sprinkle it with flour. Flour being chometz, assuming it was washed, etc. The flour is chometz. They sprinkle it with flour. I imagine the reason why that was. Was either shouldn't stick to whatever it's sitting on, like we use the flour to dust the board, and probably it also helped it dry more quickly. It helped it probably absorb some of the liquid. So theoretically, you put salt there, would help me very much more. But salt, you don't want to salt your dried figs. You end up with a salty dried fig. Right? But the kemach had a certain amount of property that it absorbs.
Funny language. You know, some are legal, some are machmir. Therefore, here we're machmir.
All right. Well, since there's some yesh mishmishon, there's a minig to be lahachmer to be machmir. Shall not shum peris. We don't need any dry fruits. Unless you do us and isyabshu, but derech shein lochish tochamitz. Unless we have clear information that it was dried in a way which is proper, without any potential concern of chametz. Mitzukar sugar also the ochlu is also eaten pesach, according to the Ramah. I feel the hashoy say also, even not only to eat it, but even to keep it over Pesach, which was also because they would. We do have Pesach sugar nowadays.
Of course.
So, in other words, the concern over here was that apparently it was common to mix flour into the sugar. So that's a common issue. So obviously, we can't use it and nowadays. You have your sugar. There's an extra on it. I'm saying that there's something else mixed in.
I guess we'd have to have a kosher paste.
You don't need to say kosher the paste. You need somebody with some type of extra on it.
I mean, a K or a cuff K.
Some say even without the P, just as though you or the K. It means there's nothing in there but the sugar. There is a minig that even though we don't eat peiros yibeishim because of this chashash, since it's only a chashash, therefore the last day of Pesach we're makel. But sukkah can deal, which I guess is a selling sugar candy.
It's not like candy, it says. The candy kingdom.
Candy. That's
a plug.
Yeah. But they would eat that. It's not really a real bona fide concern of chametz. Furthermore, the minhag over here, shalatzol karkai, which occur in saffron. We don't use saffron on Pesach. Now why don't we use saffron? Because saffron is extremely expensive.
Carcome.
They have it in the Gemara. Carcome.
Not in the Gemara.
Mishnayos, Braises, Gemara talks about carcome.
It's in the Ketores and the Pitum.
I just lost my thought. Just hold on a second. I was trying to say something. Saffron is very expensive. Actually, nowadays, Mediterranean saffron is the most expensive spice which is available in the market. The whole, you know, ounce of it costs like $100-something. A rather expensive item. So, businessmen are businessmen, like, you know, nothing is new. So you take a little bit of saffron, you mix it in with some other thing, you sell it as pure saffron, you make a killing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, the problem thing that we mixed in sometimes was flour. Ground saffron, you grind a little bit of flour in together with the saffron, you know, stretch it a little bit. Sounds good. We don't eat it on Pesach. Negelich is
nails.
Yes, that's what's referred to in Kepitim Zeres as Tzipurin, which also refers to a nail. Exactly what it is in English, I don't know.
Who eats nails?
No, it wasn't nails.
It's a spice.
It's a spice called nails?
Yeah.
No, it's called
Sipurin. The same way you have Tzipurin. You say it's Pitum Thurs, Tzipurin. Tzipurin is a nail. No, that's saffron is a karka. But in the Pitum Thurs, one of the summum is called Tzipurin.
Right.
Because it looks like it has a shape and it has a color like a human nail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're sure of the Tzipurin and you're miyapa of the Tzipurin and we'll do all these things to the Tzipurin. It should look nice, etc. But that's what Negelich is, that spice. I would love to tell you, I remember what it is. There's a institute for the basic mikdash for kahanim, etc. Like they prepare them for the Goyim when the Mashiach come. So they did a lot of research on these things. They have a published opinion what they feel all of the get all of some money of the terrorists are. So they have, they're trying to research these things and figure it out what it is. So I don't remember. I've read it. I don't remember what it says. Mi'o'ena is in Taruf, and these are all chashashas, and therefore we don't use them straight. But if they mix in, we'll be makel.
Even.
Even if you don't have a shir shishim for bitzel, even though you don't have a shir bitzel, yes, it's not a vada, it's only chashash. We're not machmer, and we're going to allow it. The kesher gets mixed in.
What
the saffron? All the things going back. All this. He's going back on the saffron sipurin. He's going back on the case of the honey. He's going back on the peiros yibeishim, and the sukkah can deal. All these things, all the chashashas, maybe there's something there, so we don't need it as is, but it would be a terubah, so it's going to be matu. Okay, a lot of mishabur over here. Chavbeis. So the first question was the case of the honey. Say, we don't say, you know, this is also that Lormer Shumazuyev. The person mixed in flour into the honey to extend the amount of honey, and he's doing a ziyuv, he's doing an act of forging like a forgery of the honey. Because they mix in flour. We don't know of any issue. We're not clear to say maybe that an issue happened. But feel irvo, even if they would mix in flour, haray devash may perisu may machmitzim. So as much as it's mixed in, it didn't become chametz yet. Now, based on the second argument, you have to care what you do with it now. You can't add any water to it. According to the first argument, you could add water to it. The second argument said, listen, maybe there is some flour in there, but what happened? Nothing happened. It's with honey. Honey can't be machmitz. He said, yeah, but it's very relevant because you can't add any water, according to the second argument.
Honey might be like
what? I'm sorry, what? We said maybe they took the honey and they falsified the honey by adding some flour to it to extend it, to be able to sell it for more. So, but what are you worried about? It didn't come chametz yet because it's just mixed with the vash. Some is pointing out that that's a very nice argument. The problem is that you cannot add any water to it if that's the argument.
Put the honey in your tea.
Right. You can use it for cooking, basically. Chav gimel lech, let's have a Pesach, so you can use it on Pesach. V'yeshu kashu d'hanu d'avka lech, ala d'vash b'en k'mosh shehu. You can use the honey directly. Avo lolish by isa, but to mix it into a dough is also. Why? What's that about? Ki matzi hu shib esu tzos ha-shaiva mei adavash, is arav shamayim, v'havili mayim mei peris u'machmitzin. The common way they used to do it, when they would take out the wax from the honey, apparently they would mix in water. I'm not sure why. Apparently the water facilitated the act of getting the wax, the honeycombs out. So they had to remove the honeycombs from the honey. They might have used water, and then you have a problem now with made papers. So if you want to eat the honey as is, that's fine. You want to use it for an iso, you're going to have to go through a process before you put it into the iso, and that process might potentially has a problem. Okay. The Rambam came along and said, some hold the sus, they mix in silas, not stam silas, they mix in silas, which is the sus, which has been washed, which is wet. That's really not a bad idea. It's not a good idea. So, let's hold it before this next mission. We're holding Mr. Rukhov. Hey. I'm going to use the bathroom before I'm going to get my mouth yet.
What's the last thing you were saying?
The Machmirim say that the mixing of the flour in was common enough that it would be a problem. And actually, the flour that they would use would be flour which has already been wet. Wetted.